and foremost, thank you to Yerachmiel and Sarah for sponsoring tonight's class. It was not in the original email, but it is in this week's bulletin. Thank you to Yerachmiel and Sarah for sponsoring in memory of Sarah's father, Morris Rubenstein, whose yahrzeit was today, right? It was today, right? Moshe ben Herschel, Mirtz Hashem, our learning should be Le'ila Nishmaso. I'm not sure if he was Hasidish, but hopefully he appreciates the learning nonetheless. hopefully.
He loved it. He really would have liked it.
Okay. Good. We have a lot to talk about. The truth is, you know, my typical Sfarim didn't have a lot to talk about, but when you dig in a little deeper, you find enough. That's, I guess, the lesson of Hasidus. Dig it a little deeper. But let's start off with an idea which I actually gave over on Tuesday from Rav Shmuel of Nicholsburg, who's not from Pshischa. However, Rav Shmuel of Sakachev, the Shemi Shmuel, does say the same exact idea, and he says it in different words. So I feel inclined to say that we'll bring this one into the Pshischa realm. For those who were there on Tuesday or listened on Tuesday, so you heard this already, at least in the way that I said it. But just a quick little phrase here. We have the Pasuk, right? After the Jewish people are in Mitzrayim already, and the whole thing with Moshe Rabbeinu, actually not a lot to talk about, at least from me tonight, from Moshe Rabbeinu's upbringing. We talked about that on Tuesday a little bit. But the Pasuk says, V'tal shavasam el ha'elokim min ha'avoda, that the Jewish people's supplication went up to Hashem from their work. What does that mean, from their work? So there are more nuances to be learned from the Pasuk, but suffice it to say, the words themselves can go over this idea, can give over this idea. Vatal shav asam. Their supplication went up. What does that mean, that their supplication went up? Vatal shav asam el ha'elokim min ha'avoda. And as I explained on Tuesday, in Hebrew grammar, and specifically with, there are certain Hasidic keywords. I don't know if you've learned this through our classes, but there are certain Hasidic keywords that if you find that word in a pasuk, you can be rest assured that that word will be used by Hasidic darshanim to teach us something else. One of those words we've talked about is shomer. The word shomer typically means to guard or to hold or to fulfill, maybe. But it could also mean to wait or to yearn for, right? Like shomer Shabbos. That comes from a pasuk by Yosef. According to Rashi, Yaakov, the pasuk says about Yaakov, who listened to Yosef's dreams and reprimanded him, right? And what does it say? Va'aviv shamar sadavar, right? And Yaakov shamar, he guarded it. What does it mean? He guarded it, says Rashi. He was waiting for it to happen. He was yearning for it to happen. So other Hasidic interpretations apply this word shamar to other times. I think I spoke about it on that OU call, if I remember correctly, to be shomer the mitzvos, to yearn for doing mitzvos. Talked about yearning for doing mitzvos when we get out of this pandemic. Right, you talk about it by shomer Shabbos. You yearn for Shabbos. You're looking forward to Shabbos. So in other words, that's one keyword, shomer. If you ever see the word shomer, oftentimes you'll find a Hasidic vart that uses that kind of nuance to teach you something. Another one of those words is the word min, mem nun. The word min usually means from, or it could sometimes mean greater than. Right, the typical understanding is min, and that's this pasuk here, Vatal shavasam elokim min havoda. Their supplication rose up to Hashem from the labor, right? The difficulty of their work is why they were crying out to Hashem, and their cries came to Hashem through their work, right? Through their labor, that's how it came. But there's another way to understand the word min, which is not that it's from, but that it's greater than. Now you have to understand the different context of when you use that word in that way. But nonetheless, that's another keyword that Hasidic Darshanim will always pick up on, or often pick up on. And here is no different. Says Rav Shmuel Misakachav, the Shemi Shmuel, Vatal shavasam el ha'elokim min ha'avoda. This has to do with the beginning of the pasuk. We're not getting into all the grammar right now. We did it on Tuesday. Shavasam al inyanei ha'elokos shechasru lahem. Their supplication, their crying out to Hashem, right, the fact that they needed Hashem in their lives, right, there are two things that Jewish people were crying about. Number one, they were crying for the lack of relationship they had with Hashem. El Halokim, their supplication of to Hashem, right? Their supplication that we want Hashem, we need Hashem in our lives, was greater than Min HaAvoda. It was greater than the supplication and greater than the cries and the exhaustion that they had from the work, right? Their great, the greater davening that they had was because they were missing Hashem in their lives. They needed that relationship back. That davening was more powerful than the davening that they had because they were working so hard. Right, there are different kinds of davening that we have. Sometimes we daven hard because, you know, something's difficult. Sometimes we're davening because we need Hashem in our lives. We want to feel Hashem in our lives. And that's a greater form of davening. I remember when I was in middle school. You know, middle schoolers are not always the most lishma type of people. This wasn't me. I never stooped to this level. But there was, you know, I was on a basketball team. And people know basketball, you know, background a little bit. I was on a basketball, on the school's basketball team. And we had some other guys on the team, you can imagine, had interests in other things. They didn't usually take davening so seriously, right? They weren't the type to really, you know, to dig into the books and to go into the translations and to really focus on davening. There was one exception, and that is when we had a basketball game. If we had a basketball game, it doesn't matter how little they davened the day before, they would be at that mincha right before the game. And they would daven, they would do well in the basketball game. Mitoch shelo lishma, hopefully ba lishma. It didn't really happen, at least from what I saw. But that was their davening, right? That their shavasam was min ha'avoda. Their davening was from the work that they had to do. But says the Shem Yishmuel, v'tal shavasam el ha'alokim min ha'avoda. Their davening, which was for Hashem, which was yearning for Hashem, was greater, that was more powerful than their davening that it was from the hard work that they needed to get released from. Greater was the davening of missing out on Hashem's relationship, on having a connection to Hashem. That was greater than their davening from the hard work. Just the different perspective on what the Jewish people were yearning for when they were in Mitzrayim. That's idea number one. Idea number two is a pasuk, which at first I had to read this. I had to read this a few times over when I read it originally in this sefer. Luckily, actually in this sefer, I first read it in this sefer, Iturei Torah, and then I read it over. And it's like six words. I couldn't figure out what it was trying to say until I read it in different words in this sefer. I tried to look up the original. I couldn't find it, but I'll tell it to you now. The pasuk that we're talking about is the very next pasuk, or two pasukim later, really. Vayar Elokim es bnei Yisrael, and Hashem saw the Jewish people. Vayeda Elokim. What does that mean, Vayeda Elokim? Typically, we quote this pasuk actually in the Haggadah. We darshan it that it's referring to, I believe, the Jewish people separated from their wives to not have children. All right, that's Vayeda Elokim. Only Hashem could know such a thing. And the Yehudi HaKadosh, the Yid HaKadosh, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak of Pshischa, right? In many ways, the Rebbe, or sort of the partner of Rav Simcha Banim. Rav Simcha Banim sort of, he gave the mantle of leadership when they moved to Pshischa. He gave it over to Rav Yaakov Yitzchak, the Yid HaKadosh. We talked about him before. And so he says on this pasuk, apparently, Vayar Elokim es bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim, the Vayeda Elokim is not referring to Hashem. The pasuk already says, "Vayar Elokim es bnei Yisrael." Hashem saw the Jewish people, and obviously Hashem knows about the Jewish people. So what does it mean, "Vayeda Elokim," that Hashem knows? It's not that Hashem knows. It's "Vayeda Elokim," that it was known to them about Hashem. "Vayeda" is passive. It's reflexive. They were made known about Hashem. What does that mean? So, book number one says it like this. Says the Yid HaKadosh, "Rak histakel aleihem kivyachol." All Hashem had to do was look at the Jewish people. Vayar Elokim es bnei Yisrael, umiyad, and immediately, higiu ladas Elokim. They came to the status of knowing Hashem. All that was necessary was Hashem had to look at them. Now, again, I read that a few times. I'm not really sure what that meant. Trying to sort of, you know, glean a message from it. If you look in this sefer, in Pnimiya Torah, so he says almost the same exact drasha, but in different words. That's why I tried to look at the original. I don't know. But he says like this, Vayar Elokim, Re'iyaso Osam, the seeing of them, He Shegar Malahem Ladas, That is itself, the fact that Hashem saw them is itself what made them know Sheyesh Elokim Ba'olam, that there is a person, there is a God in the world. Vayeda Elokim. Now, whether that's more clear or not, I don't know. But when I read that, I came to an understanding. And I read a book recently, a couple days ago, I finished it, called When. I quoted it in a drasha last Shabbos. That and really, I don't know how it fit in the book, really. But either way, he talks about this idea where, not sort of a blockbuster idea, something we talked about last year, about Makas Choshech, that people get chizuk by knowing that they're seen. Right, people sometimes go through the world, they go through their daily routine, and whether it's because of COVID or whether it's because they're going through their own stuff and they don't have the greatest of social connections, they don't always think that people know who they are. They don't always feel that they're being seen, that they're getting some kind of attention, that they're important in some way. I think this is a problem which has been happening throughout COVID, but it's a problem in our society in general, when the way that we orient ourselves is through the internet, the way that we connect to other people is through a screen and it's not through face-to-face contact. You don't know that you're seen, and that's an important thing to know, that people care about, that the people are listening to, that people see you. And that's what I thought when I read this, at least in the Pnei Torah. Says the Yid HaKadosh, you know what the Jewish people came to realize? They came to realize they were no longer alone. Hashem saw them. And when they knew that Hashem saw them, they felt they had a connection with Hashem. When you know someone pays attention to you, that itself gives you a relationship with them. You don't even have to say anything. They didn't say anything. Hashem didn't speak to Jewish people. He hadn't even spoken out to Moshe Rabbeinu at this point. That's the next few psukim. At this point, the Jewish people had no concept of a relationship with Hashem. They were crying out to him, maybe from the pasuk right beforehand, but just by the nature of Vayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael, Hashem saw them. It was through that sight, it was through that knowledge that they were seen, that Vayeda Elokim, that they had a relationship. Vayeda, we know the word Vayeda in biblical Hebrew means that you had a relationship, right? Vayada Adam es Chava Ishto, they had a relationship. It's through that knowledge of them being seen, they knew that they were seen. That they knew that they were seen. That's what created that relationship. A fascinating, you know, insight. I'm not really sure if that's exactly what the Yid HaKadosh had in mind, but that's how I'm interpreting the Yid HaKadosh. And until I see the original source, that's how I'll understand it. That the Jewish people knew that they were seen, and that itself is what brought them to the knowledge, to that relationship with Hashem. Really a beautiful idea. Something we can all take to heart in these times of COVID, but also in general in the world we live in. Here's an interesting one, and it's one that, you know, could apply to a lot of different surgeries. How you apply this is the tricky part. But if you look later on, so Hashem finally reaches out to Moshe, and they go back and forth. We know there's a disagreement. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't think he's the guy. He thinks Hashem's got the wrong guy. And ultimately, Moshe acquiesces. But in the middle of that conversation, so the pasuk says, in Dalid Yudalid, Dalid Yudalid, it says, and this is, you know, this is also a sort of a operative keyword for people to know, not necessarily a keyword, but an operative time where you're going to expect a Hasidic reinterpretation. It says, the pasuk, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem got angry at Moshe. So anytime there's some kind of negative attribute applied to one of the gedolim in the Torah, so you'll almost always find some kind of reinterpretation to understand how that could be seen in a positive sense. So here is Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe v'yomer halo Aaron achicha alevi yadati ki daber idaber hu v'gam hinehu yotzei l'krascha yikrasecha v'racha v'samach b'libo. Right? Don't you know that Aaron's going to be with you? I'm going to be with you. You don't have to worry, Moshe. And the pasuk got started by Yichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem got angry at Moshe. Can you imagine such a thing? So here's another Hasidic, I guess you can call it a Hasidic hermeneutic principle, that the letter bet, the letter beis, can always mean two different things, or it could mean a few different things. It could mean at, it could mean in, or it could mean within. So here says, I actually saw this in a couple different ways, but I didn't understand what it meant either until I saw it in this Panini editor, the way that it says. I guess they paraphrase in this book. I don't know. But if you look at... Either way. So, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, says Rav Simcha Banim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hevir l'Moshe es kol charono al hamitzrim. Hashem gave over to Moshe Rabbeinu his anger. Not that he was angry at Moshe or with Moshe, but Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Right? Hashem put into Moshe Rabbeinu that anger. He lit a fire into Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? He said to Moshe, you have to be angry about what's going on to the Jewish people in Egypt. Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be the one to bring the revenge, to avenge the Jewish people's, you know, suffering. He put it inside of Moshe. He lit a fire inside of Moshe's being. And this, Rav Simcha Banim says, the Kutzker Rebbe has an interesting, also a similar thing. This connects to an idea that I said last year in the Tuesday Parsha Shir, if I'm not mistaken, and I mentioned again this week in the Tuesday Parsha Shir, about the Sfas Emes quoting his grandfather, the Chiddush Sharim, that when we say that Hashem was saving the Jewish people, mitachat sivlot mitraim. What does the word sivlot mean? It comes from the word, usually we translate it as the burden or the work or the difficulties. Here, says the Sfas Emes, it means sivlot, like savlanut. Hashem saved the Jewish people from their tolerance of Mitzrayim. They had gone through Egypt and they had basically become accustomed. They had become complacent with their life. They realized this is what's going to be. This is, you know, so my father did, my grandfather, great-grandfather. We've been here for 100 years, 200 years. This is just how it's going to be. We're going to be slaves. This is who we are. That's the savlanut. That's the savlut Mitzrayim. And Hashem says, I have to save you from that. Moshe Rabbeinu had the same complacency. He was living by Yisro. He was living and he was having good life. He had kids. He had a wife. He was taken care of. His father-in-law was a nice, rich, wealthy man. And, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was going to, you know, be one of the next great, you know, sheep, you know, shepherd in the sheep business. He thought he was sort of on a track of becoming partner, right? And he thought he was fine in his life. He could stay there. He could live out his life over there. Hashem says, no, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. You have to get angry about this. You can't sit here in Midian when the Jewish people are suffering in Egypt. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe means he had to make him angry. He had to give him that emotion, give him that passion to realize something wrong is happening. You have to stand up and do something about it. You can't stand idly by. That's the tricky part. When is it that you're supposed to do something about it? When is it? We don't have burning bushes to tell us when we're supposed to get up and do something about things. Sometimes it's tricky to figure out when is that time. But when you see something which is clearly wrong, you have to stand up, you have to do something about it, you have to say something about it, and do what you can to rectify the situation. And lastly, this comes to the end of the parasha. Hey Zion, the pasuk tells us that... Paro, after being greeted by Moshe and trying to be persuaded by Moshe to give the Jewish people a vacation, so Hashem's or Paro says back to them, "Who is this? Who is this Hashem that you speak of?" It was an interesting line. I also saw from Simcha Banim that the apikarsim of Paro's time are much greater than the apikarsim of our time. You know, he says like this, nowadays someone gets a headache. This is how he says it. Nowadays someone gets a headache and they all of a sudden they don't believe in God anymore. Right? Something little happens in their life and, you know, how could God do this to me? I'm out of here. I'm out of the game. You know, in the times of Paro, you know, he gives him, you know, a message. He says no. He gives him a maka. He says no. He gives him 10 makos. Over and over and over, he gives him the message that Hashem, that he's supposed to learn a lesson. And Paro says, still not believing it. Right? That's an apikoros. That's someone who really doesn't like God. You know, nowadays people give up God, you know, in an instant. But Paro really believed against God, right? Didn't matter what you gave him. He was always going to fight against it. Either way, interesting insight. I don't know who he's talking about when he says that. But either way, the pasuk tells us, in response to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Vayomer, Vayomru, Well, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, Hey Zion, Perek Hey Pasuk Zion, Lo Tosifun Lases Lehem and La'am Lilbon Halavanim Kismol Shel Shom. Don't give them any more straw to make their bricks, like the days before. Hey Miyachlu V'Koshu Lehem to Heaven. They're going to have to now get their own straw. Right, this was the punishment we know Paro gave to the Jewish people. We talked about this on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, I said to the group, I came across a Hasidish idea that I have to tell you. It had nothing to do with our shiur. I just couldn't hold back from saying it over. It was so fresh. It was so new. It was so exciting for me that that I found it. I love this idea. I really love this idea. And I couldn't wait to tell it over to you today. Lo tosifun. The word lahosif, to add. We know this already from Yosef, right? Yosef's name is from the word lehosif, to add, right? Rachel Imenu says, Yas Yosef li ben acher. I want another child, right? You know, it's kind of an interesting statement, but either way, there's another possibility that it comes from, you know, which is, you know, part of this also, that Asaf Hashem Ischer Pasi, you have to look back at the Pasuk there to understand what that means. But I also mentioned that I think by Shavuos time I have a drasha on the word Yosef from Matan Torah, not for now. But if you look at the Pasuk carefully, if you look at the words Lo Tosifun, if the word really meant to add, right? You will no longer add or give to them straw. So the pasuk, the word should be Taf Vav Samech Pei Nun. Tosifun, right? It should be Tosif Lahosif, like the word Yosef. But it's not written like that. It's Taf Aleph Samech Pei Nun. Tosifun, like the word La'asif, La'asof. Like Chag Ha'asif. What does the word Asif mean? To gather. Lahosif means to add, but lahasif or laesof means to gather. Says Paro, lo tosifun. Beyond the literal brick laying and the hard work that they have in the fields, lo tosifun, says Rav Menachem Mendel of Arka, lo tosifun latet tevin la'am, l'shem ma alif yisera. Why is there an extra aleph in that word? Ela tosifun lashon asifa. To teach you gathering. What does that mean? L'lamedcha ba sheparo gazar al b'nei Yisrael. He made a decree. Shelo yitasvu yachad. The Jewish people are not to have social connections anymore. They're not to be together. They're not to gather. Ki al yidei ha'asifa mischabrim zeim zeh. Because when they gather together, they get closer to each other. They support each other. They strengthen each other. Uparo harash lo hiniach gam zos biyadehem. Paro couldn't afford to have the Jewish people support each other. He couldn't afford for them to get together socially because he knew that if they got together socially and they supported each other, it doesn't matter how many bricks he made them make. It doesn't matter how much work he gave them in the field. If they had each other, it wouldn't be that difficult. As long as they had the support of each other, as long as they had the hit asfut, the asifa, if they were able to join together socially, then it doesn't matter. They would never feel the shibud. They would never feel the pain enough. And therefore, says Paro, the greatest pain that I can give the Jewish people is to keep them separate, is to make sure they can never get together. Lo tosifun. They should never get together. An unbelievable insight from Paro, at least according to Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Arka, that the Jewish people are stronger and the Jewish people can endure any difficulty, no matter what comes to us, as long as we support each other. And obviously, the connections to COVID are clear, and the connection to what we said earlier is clear. We have to make sure that we see each other, that we hear each other, that we support each other. And with that support, we can get through anything. That's Vatal Shavasam Elohim and Avoda. Our davening should be for Hashem, greater than any functional utilitarian purpose. That davening of wanting Hashem should be greater. Vayeda Elohim, the Jewish people knew Hashem just from the fact that they knew He saw them. And then we said, Vayichar Af Hashem Bimoshe, when you see something wrong, you're supposed to light a fire in yourself. You should be angry about it and do something about it. That's what Hashem was trying to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, who was clearly hesitant to enter into it. And then lastly, Lo Tosifun. Paro wanted to hurt the Jewish people by making sure they couldn't be with each other. And that's the greatest pain of all. When you can't be with each other, when you can't support each other, then that is the moment where the work gets hard. But if you can still be with each other, you can support each other, you can endure any difficulty. That's Pshischan the Parsha. Thank you again to Yerachmiel and Sarah for sponsoring, hopefully, our learning together. And the learning of anyone who learns through the recording will be Le'iloi Nishmas Moshe Ben Herschel Morris Rubenstein, Sarah's father. Ever should have a wonderful Shabbos.
You too. Good Shabbos.
Everyone be well.
Good Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Be safe.